35. It's on tape, though. You have it on tape. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines on the bottom. It said last two words in the line. It's me and I'm on. Okay, this really is a continuation of what we learned last night for the next few lines, which is that the parameters of inheritance and estates, when are they considered to be unified, when they're considered to be divided. It's near the one that's over there. Halakuach, something which is acquired. Manita lo matana, or given as a gift. Now these are animals, right? They're animals that are given to you as a gift, or they were purchased from the marketplace. You didn't raise them. So patur ma'aser behema, those animals are exempt from ma'aser behema when they give birth to calves. The calves are exempt from ma'aser behema. So therefore, ha'achin ha'shuchim, brothers who are partners with each other, shechayavim b'kelbo, they're liable to kelbo, meaning Chachamim made a takara that when you give machtzis a shekel, give a little bit extra to cover. It's like a service charge, a handling fee, on top of the half shekel you give every year. So they said, when you give machtzis a shekel for somebody else, you don't have to give the kelbo. So when partners give for each other, I think I messed this up last night. I'm pretty sure I did. When partners give for each other, they are chayv and kelbo, because they're not really giving for another person. Each person is giving for himself as part of the partnership. So they're chayv and kelbo, but they're part from ma'aser behema. But we say that since they're partners, so really each person's portion is as if he purchased it from the other partner, because the partners are, you know, so to speak, buying and selling from each other all the time. So therefore, each animal is considered not really one of the partners, but rather is considered to be bought and sold back and forth from each partner. Now, it's in flux. I mean, it's not an actual flux, but its status is one where any division would be an arbitrary purchase, right? So therefore, since they're partners in it, so therefore they're exempt from ma'aser behema. On the other hand, b'shechoku v'chazu nishtatfu. That's only when they divide it up, not on the other end. This is when they divide it up and they became partners again. Okay, they divide up the estate and then they became partners, financial partners. And that's when they divided up the estate and they became partners again. But the other case is kshechiyovim ma'aser behema. What would be a case where they're liable to ma'aser behema, and yet at the same time potter min hakelbon when they're exempt from kelbon, b'shelo choku when they didn't divide up the estate yet? Because in that case, it's really neither of them are giving the machzis a shekel. The estate is giving the machzis a shekel for them. The estate is considered to be like its own entity, the corporate entity, and the corporate entity is giving machzis a shekel for the two brothers, right? It's not the two brothers giving in partnership. The estate, which is not yet divided up, the corporate entity is giving on their behalf, so therefore it's potter from kelbon, right? Because it's like somebody else giving machzis a shekel for you, so you don't have to pay the service charge. On the other hand, they're chayv and ma'aser behema, because then it's still considered to be like the animals belong to the corporate entity. It's not a partnership where there's as if it's bought and sold from each other, but rather it's the unified ownership of the corporation, and therefore they're chayv and ma'aser behema. Okay? The corporate entity really, that's right, the corporate entity is chayv ma'aser behema. Really, the only time we have a corporation in classic halacha is this case, the case of an estate before it's divided up. Right, because normally you don't have a concept of corporation in halacha, right? A corporation is a tool of capitalism. But an estate, before it's divided up, where it doesn't really belong to either brother, they're just directors of it, that's the one case of corporate halacha, where we have a precedent for corporation in halacha. Okay, Rabbi Ban, that's the end of that sugya. Rabbi Ban b'shem and new issue. Rabbi Ban b'shem Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Shmuel. Rabbi Ban name Rabbi Yehuda name Shmuel said, "Lizeh para, lizeh chamor." Okay, Reuven's got a cow, and Shimon's got a donkey. And they want to do a barter, a chalifa, right? They want to share. So Reuven, b'chlivo shozeh. Reuven pulled the donkey, which he wants to cart. Shimon pulled the cow, which he wants to cart, right? That's actually what they intend to do, right? Now, the thing is, it wasn't that easy. Moshach Bala Chamor Es HaPora. Shimon, who owns the donkey, pulled Reuven's cow. He did Mashiach. Uvav Bala Pora Limshoch Es HaChamor. Now, Reuven, who owns the cow, wants to come and pull the donkey. Needless to say, doesn't work. The donkey is found dead. Okay, what happens? So in this case, Bala Chamor Tzarech Lohavi Raya, the owner of the donkey, who already pulled the cow into his possession, right? So you would think, well, he says, tough, no backsies, right? You found a dead donkey. That's your problem, right? I got my cow. No, the Gemara does not say that. Gemara says that Ba'al Chamor, the owner of the donkey, Tzorech Lavi Raya Shoso Chamoro Kayemis, that he has been a Raya, that his donkey was alive, B'shoa Shemoshach Es HaPora, when he pulled the cow. Which is fascinating, because normally don't say that, right? Normally say, he got it. He got the cow. You want to take the cow back for him, prove that the donkey was dead at the time that he pulled the cow. But no, in this case we say he's got to prove that his donkey was alive. Why? And it says more, why is that? Shekol ha-moitzi mi-chaveiro lov ha-raya chutz min ha-chalifin. We always say the person, if you want to extract, you got to bring proof, except in chalifin.
Because
it's just being an exchange. There's no exchange because the donkey's dead. It sounds like a reasonable svara. Right. No exchange because the donkey's dead. Mara's going to give a difference, a little bit more love than just svara. But that seems to be simple meanings. It sounded familiar to me, but I don't remember. I don't think we ever had it. Yeah, no, I'm not sure. But Dr. Spidell is the bucking shots. So, confirms my impression. Okay. Anybody who doesn't learn this way, somebody doesn't hold this way, he doesn't know anything about monetary matters. Very strong statement, right? I'm Rabbi Zira, I don't hold like this, which I argue on you. Okay, so it's Machloka Shmuel and Rabbi Zira. Shmuel came up with this revolutionary new svara, the Khalifin is different, and Rabbi Zira has the conventional wisdom that Amotsu Mechaber Lov Araya. Okay? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Bala Rabbi Zira. Now here we have a few gears of changes. We're going to go with the Gilead Ephraim and with Baz, a bunch of gears of changes here. Amar Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira said, Amar Rabbi Bala is Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Bala said to Rabbi Zira, Masnisa, the following Braisa, it should be Misayea, not Pliga. The following Braisa is Misayea al Shmuel. Excuse me, it helps Shmuel out. What's this price? And this price we've had, actually, in Mishnah. This is the concept of a woman who's getting married, and she has mumin, right? It turns out that when she gets married, lo and behold, she has blemishes which cancel weddings, which nullify weddings, right? So, vodeh beis avia, if she has these mumin while she's still in her father's house, even though the mumin only appeared on the woman after kiddushin, we know they only were discernible after kiddushin. Ha'av tzarech lo'avei raya. The father's got it being proof that it didn't exist before, and then that it's the husband's tafla. Right. So it's not, right. The father's got to bring proof that the movement were not there previously. So says well, it's only if it's a moon which is type which no, it's not a riot for. Yeah, of course there's a mekachtos, but there has to be a moon. It's not not that 20 years later. No, it has to be right after the marriage. So it says more. Lo abal tzorech lavi raya lotzi kiddushim shusav. Wait a minute. What's the father bringing proof for? Isn't it the husband who wants to say the kiddush is not void and wants his money back? What do you mean the father has to bring proof? So says the Gemara, it's the husband who's got to bring proof, because the husband wants to get his money back. Says more note, Talmidei to Rabbi, Yoina, Armin, the students of Rabbi Yoina said, Tipati B'Kiddushin K'tanim. It's talking about where the money he gave for Kiddushin was a Cracker Jack ring. So there, he doesn't care if he gets it back or not. They don't put, by the way, they don't put rings in Cracker Jacks anymore. I don't know if you know about this, but there comes the shock also. Cracker Jacks don't come in boxes anymore. They come in snack bags. Yeah, it's a safety issue. Oh, liability. Yeah, barely any peanuts. Yeah, but they have some. They have, okay. In any event, Niskatnu Adairus. So the bottom line is that he gave her a Cracker Jack ring. So maybe he doesn't want it back, but the father is fighting that his daughter should get her what? Her ksuba. He wants her to get her ksuba. So that's what the fight is about. Now, Bitzel has made, this is a raya to Rabbi, to, again, according to Regillian Ephraim, just gears to change, there's a raya to Shmuel. Why is Rabbi Shmuel? Because Shmuel is the one who said that we use the principle called in Gidushin, kan nimtza kan hoya. Where I find the problem, I assume that that is where the problem is, and the person with whose reshus the problem arose is the one who's got to bail out of it. So that's why if you're doing chalifin and the chamor was found dead, right, again, the baal chamor rei di mashicha on the para. The owner of the donkey rei di mashicha, they already pulled the cow. The owner of the cow came to do mashicha on the donkey is already dead. But where was the donkey found dead? In the donkey owner's yard. So that's why they say, we assume it was dead, even though it's against chazakah. There are two chazakahs which go against this. One chazakah is the chazakah that the donkey was alive till the previous moment, right? And also he's muksak in the par already. He's holding on to the cow already. Nevertheless, we say, kan nimtza, kan hoya. If the problem is found here, it's your problem. You must prove that it's not your problem. The same thing is true by this case over here. We found the mum in the father's reshus, yes, but it was after Kiddusha, right? So that, again, he has two chazakos, the father and his side. One chazak is the cheskes haguf, that means some of the mum occurred at the last possible moment. The other, which means after Kiddusha. And also, besides that, the has the chazaka that he has the kiddushin took place, right? He has the money of kiddushin in his hand. He has the shtar ksuv in his hand, right? He's holding on to it. Nevertheless, since kan nimtza, the problem is found in the father's house, it's the father's problem. He's got to prove that his daughter was suitable. Okay? So it says the Gemara further. Dilma, a story. Not a particularly exciting story. Right, Chuna, right, Pinchas, Rabbi Chizkiah, Salki, and they went up, Misha B'Shlomo, to go inquire as to the health of the Rabbi Yosef. You were male of Minoah, and they also want to learn from him at the same time. Amar Lei, so they said to him, it seems, or he said to them, it's not clear who said to whom, it seems like they said to him, Masnisa Messiah L'Shmo. The following Tanaic statement also is Shmo. what's this case? Nichnasa l'rishus habal, once she actually enters the husband's house, habal tzarich l'havi raya. The husband's got to bring proof. In other words, at that point, it sounds like only because she entered the husband's house, that's the only difference. Since she entered the husband's house, and that's when you found the woman, kan nimtza kan haya, that's when the husband has to bring proof. Says Maravlo, I've tzarech levi raya, tzarech levi raya, lo tziksu v'shus haya, v'shus habal. The one second, doesn't the father have to bring proof to extricate the ksuva, right? He's the moitzi. Nevertheless, Kanim Tzokanhoya says, despite the fact that his moitzi is trying to extract the ksuva from the husband, nevertheless, the husband has to bring the proof because the problem is found in the husband's rishus.
Well, the principal thing is the location.
Right, and the location is determining everything. That's exactly the point. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yosef said to his visitors, lo moda Rabbi Zera, that's not exactly a proof against Rabbi Zera. It says Yishmo, but it should be Rabbi Zera. Does Rabbi Zera not concede? Shimashach ba'al paroas ha'chamor. Now this is a case where you found the donkey alive, right? The owner of the cow, the owner of the donkey did Mashiach on the cow. Then the owner of the cow came to Mashiach on the donkey and he found the donkey alive. He took the donkey home. And then you found Mumin on the donkey. You found a Mum on the donkey. Okay, the Mum, the donkey, a wife, you find a Mum, right? So there's not Shu'u Tzarich L'Avi Raya. Do we not say there that that even Rabbi Zira would concede that in that case the Baal Parah did Mashiach on the Chamor, he's got to bring the proof, right, that the Mumin were there previously, right? So to hear Vizeh came in Shekonas, the husband who married the wife, since it's like Kamisha Moshach, it's as if he already did Mashiach on the animal, tzarech lahavi raya shayob u'mumin elu, that these mumin were there, ach lo tikonis rishu. So he's got to bring a proof that the mumin were there prior to the entrance into the rishus. So it's interesting. In essence, what we're saying is that Rabbi Zira may concede the point by mumin, that we do say kan nimtza kan hoya vis-a-vis mumin, and that we have to check wherever the mum is found, whether it may be in the father's rishus or in the husband's rishus, we assume that mum is correlated with that rishus until proven otherwise. But right before we talk about a different case, we're talking about death. We're talking about where the Baal Chamor pulled the donkey. The Baal Parah pulled the donkey. The Baal Chamor, no, the other way around. The Baal Chamor pulled the cow, right? The owner of the donkey pulled the cow. The owner of the cow has not yet pulled the donkey before he finds it dead. In that case, Rabbi Zira said, it's not a case of mumin. Only in the case of mumin do I say, kan nimtzu kan hoya. If they were here, Mistama, they affiliate with this rishus. But death, the death of the donkey...
That's the ultimate mumin.
No, not necessarily. You know why? Well, I didn't think of it till now. But actually, I'll tell you what the difference is. I just thought of it now on the spot. Death is a one-time occurrence. Mumin are an ongoing occurrence. Okay? So therefore, death... We can say, well, you have to prove at what point the death occurred, right? So what point the death occurred, that we would use chazakas, regular chazakas. But mumin, since mumin are an ongoing thing, they're not a one-time phenomenon, right? They're an ongoing thing, so therefore we say chazakas might not work with them. Well, the only thing which I can use for them is kan nimtza kan hoya. Because what does chazaka do? Kazaka says an event which occurred either as late as possible or as early as possible. It talks about events, when events occurred, and it determines them on the basis of the Torah's principle of Chazaka. But it doesn't talk about states, things that are ongoing, right? So Mumin is an ongoing state. All right, you don't like it. I don't like it either. Yeah, because that's not right what I'm saying. So I don't know exactly. You're right. It's the question is, why is there Bezira's hold? There's a difference that by death I follow the regular principles of Chazakos, and by Mumin I won't follow the regular principles of Chazakos.
Some of them are permanent,
right? Yeah, they're permanent. Some are permanent.
Death is permanent.
Well, I don't know. That's not... doesn't necessarily... You're right. Excuse me, there is a comparison. The question is how to get out of the comparison.
Mumin is a developing, in other words, you may have some pre-Mumin symptoms that won't show up until the actual Mumin comes out. That's an example of a Mises. So you may have symptoms for a few days before the Mises actually come out. So these Mumin might have these symptoms.
Well, I don't know if that would make a difference. Well, I have something written aside by tomorrow. From the Gilead Ephraim. The Gilead Ephraim says that in the case of the case we find Mumin in the donkey, Rabbi Zira concedes because the suffix is in the owners of the okay, he draws things like this. He says, in the case of the Mumin are found in the donkey, the Baal Chamor already did Mashiach on the Pora. Baal Pora did Mashiach on the Chamor. Then he find Mumin on the Chamor. So in that case, you have the Safik came out ready when the donkey's the Baal Pora's Rishus, because he actually did Mashiach on it already.
The
case Rabbi Zira concedes is where he did Mashiach on the Chamor and then found Mumin. So in that case, the Safik came up in his after he did Mashiach. And there's also Chezkas HaGuf of the donkey that the Mumin came on the last possible moment. Rabbi Zira concedes to that. As opposed to where you did the Baal Chamor, got the cow. And then the Baal Pora found that the cow, the Chamor, was dead. Then, because there is a Chazaka, that the cow, that the donkey died later, at the last possible moment after the Mashiach. But the Kan Nimtza, Kan Choyo, Rabbi Zira said before, the Machlokas Shmuel Rabbi Zira was where the Chalifin was initiated. For sure was initiated. The Baal Pora did, the Baal Pora had relinquished his Pora to the Baal Chamor. That already effectuated the Mashiach. The question was whether at that time the Chamor was still alive. Right? So the Shmuel said, you got to prove the Chamor is still alive, the Chalifin is null and void. Rabbi Zira said, no, we assume the Chamor was still alive because of the Chazaka, right? Chazaka, the Chamor was alive a minute ago, so then the Chazaka, we assume the Chazaka continues, right? So therefore the Chamor is alive and the Chalifin follows through. Hi, the Chamor is now dead, tough on the Baal Pora. He got it, dead Chamor. Okay? There, the Kanimtza Kanhoya would be to say the donkey's dead, it's still in the Baal Chamor's barn, he's the one that's being proof that it was alive, right? But the Chazaka opposes the Kanimtza Kanhoya, right? So Rabbi Zatzim Achlok is going to Shmuel, he followed the Kanimtza Kanhoya, right? And therefore, the cancels the Chalifin, right? According to Rabbi Zira, follow the Chazaka. It was Mistamot so alive, and therefore it doesn't cancel the Chalipin. In the case, however, of Mumin, where you already, if you take the same case, except leave the donkey alive and give the donkey Mumin, excuse me, after the Baal Por has already done Mashiach on it, then even Rabbi Zira concedes. That's all the more to say. Because in that case, where the Kanim Tzoya is on the side of the Chazaka. Because when you found the Mumin, where was it? It's already in possession of the Baal Por, right. So the way the Kanim Tzoya clashes with the Chazaka, there Shmuel follows Kanim Tzoya location, and Rabbi Zira follows the Chazaka, right? Last possible moment. Where, however, the Chazaka and Kanim Tzoya are on the same side of the coin, right? Because it was found in the Baal Por's domain, and that was the last possible moment, then of course Rabbi Zira conceded that. That's all I'm going to say. It's that simple. The question on Rabbi Zira still remains. We never answered the question from the other case. The case where you have the, you find the Mumin after Kiddushin in the father's house. Because in that case we said that the Mishnah says in Ksuvus that the father's got to prove, right? The father's got to prove that the Mumin came after Kiddushin. There it's a case where the Chazaka contradicts the Kanim Tzokanoya. The Chazaka has happened last possible moment after Kedusha. The Kanim Tzokanoya is that it's in the father's house. So there, Shmuel says, oh, this is a riot for me, right? Because you see here that we follow the Kanim Tzokanoya because it's the father who's got to bring a riot. Whereas according to Rabbi Zira, it's difficult, and we never addressed this question, we never answered. Rabbi Zira, here the Kanim Tzokanoya is the father should bring the proof, the Chazaka is the husband should bring the proof, we come on and on the side of the Kanim Tzokanoya, both Chazaka. So that's what's difficult on that. Okay. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Ba and Rabbi Nuna and Rabbi Baruch Hu B'Shem Rav. They all said, this is a pretty cool case, pretty neat. Also, I don't remember this in the Bavli. They all said B'Shem Rav, and it's not in the Bavli. No, it's not in the Bavli. So they are Samech. It speaks about it's not in the Bavli. I think like Mr. Zuger, I saw a similar case once somewhere, but this is not a Bavli case. Somebody brings down a similar case. I forget who. But it's not precisely the same as the Bavli. Anyway, after that convoluted introduction, he said, Amochel apar b'domi. I sell you a cow for money. Sell you a cow for $500. Okay? You didn't pay me the $500. I gave you the cow. I assume you're going to give me the $500. Amarli, so it says here the chazke should be dachke. So the seller wanted to collect the cash in, right? He wanted the money. He said, so Amarli, have you new pretai? Give me the money you owe me. So he said, so Jew, you know, he doesn't want to pay. He said, my boy, Minon, why do you want the money for? Right? It's true, he owes you the money. But that's what it pays. This is what you need the money for. Tell me what's going on. So Amalei said, I want to go buy a donkey. And I need the $500 that you owe me in order to go buy a donkey. So he says, so Moshach Baal Hapora Esa Chamor. So in this case, one second. I think I got it backwards a little bit. The kid didn't yet take place. Yeah, the kid didn't yet take place. I'm sorry. They agreed to make a kid, but he didn't actually. There was no mashicha yet, so he's going to sell him the cow for money, but he didn't give him the money. So instead, so now the guy wants the money. So, and he says he wants to buy a donkey. So what the buyer does is instead the buyer offers the seller a donkey. Says, you know, you want the $500 in order to go buy a donkey. I'll give you a donkey. Okay, and that's what happened. It sounds like a chalifin, right? But it's not. Because what's the donkey in this case? It's not chalifin. What is it? It's in lieu of money. It's shava kesef kekesef. In other words, he's paying in kind. It's not chalifin. It looks like chalifin, because you're giving a chamor for a para, but it's not chalifin. So if it's not chalifin, what's nafkamina? Mo's ain't in konos, right? Kesef doesn't work, right? So the chamor does not acquire the para because there was no mashicha. We're chalifin, so in chalifin it works even with though the para is stationary, nothing has happened. The giving of the chamor in and of itself acquires the para. But since the chamor is being given here not as exchange, but as payment, it's not a barter. Chalifin is barter. It's not a barter. It's a sale. And since it's a sale, even though it looks like a chalifin, it looks like a barter, it's really a sale. But it's true.
The only reason why it's different.
It's logical.
They said instead of the money, you're taking my chamor.
And that makes all the difference in the world. Okay, that's the difference. Exactly, that's the difference. Okay? So that's what it says here. Lo nikne moshach ba'apar tzchamor, either ba'apar took the chamor, lo nikne sapora. But para is not acquired. Chamor ma'oshi ikne. Okay, but does the seller acquire the donkey, right? Does the seller acquire the donkey? So he said, Rabbah machlokas, Rabbah ma'anikneis. Rabbah says, yes. He acquires it because it's like money. The seller gets money, so he acquires it like the money. Rabbi Yosi Amar Einan Iknes. Rabbi Yosi says he doesn't get it. You know why? Savar, the words right bar are a mistake. Savar dinu chalifin v'leisi nu chalifin. Everybody's the loser here. Because people think it's chalifin, and it's not. Right? People look at it as chalifin because the donkey's being given for a cow. But it's not chalifin. But you can't enjoy the benefit of it being a Kenyan dummy because you don't have kavana. You have kavana for a Kenyan, which doesn't work. So you come out kerech mikan to kerech mikan. You're bald on both accounts. And why? The Baal Para doesn't own the Baal Chamor. Doesn't own the Chamor. Because he thought it was chalifin and it wasn't. And the Baal Chamor doesn't own the Para. Because he thought it was chalifin as it wasn't. Hi, it could have worked as a monetary acquisition, right? And like Rabbi Boss says, at least the owner of the cow has acquired the donkey as payment. Yeah, so Rabbi Yossi argues and says he didn't have that in mind, and therefore it doesn't work. Okay, so it's interesting because the kavanah's kinyan, torpedo, lack of kavanah torpedoes the kinyan. Rabbi Mona b'shem Rabbi Yossi said, po'amim, sometimes shetchilas mekach lezeh, tchilas mekach lezeh. Sometimes it says it works in this scenario as if it's the beginning of the deal for both. Hey Chabita, what are we talking about? Machul apara b'damim. So it starts out similar case. I'm selling you a cow for money. Okay? Now, there are different girsos here. The Ben Aryeh and the Gamudi Yerushalayim all bring down, they both bring down different girsos from the Rishonim. So we could learn this more differently than I'm about to learn it, but it's easier to just learn with the girsos in front of us. That's the way the Ritbaz learns it. I bought you from the cow for I'm buying you a cow for $500. I paid you $499.99. I still owe you a pruta. I still owe you a pruta. So I haven't taken delivery yet. So no kinyan has yet taken place. I'm on the payment plan though, right? I'm almost finished. Okay, so there's one pruta left. The next day, the seller found the buyer found the seller standing by. Amar Leisa said, "Mad Kaimach, what are you doing? Avidach, what are you doing here?" Amar Leisa said, "Boy, inim prutaya, I want that extra coin, that extra cent." Amar Leisa said, "Ma poimino, why do you want it now? What's the difference? It's only a penny, right?" Amar Leisa said, back then, masmilin chad chamor. I want to go buy a donkey, right? So since I want to go buy a donkey, I need an extra cent. I guess that was the make or break a penny for the donkey. So I'm late. So the guy who owes him one penny says, "Arei chamor lefanecha, I'll give you a donkey." Okay? Obviously, he expects to get reimbursed, but he gives it to him in the meantime because the obviously expects to be reimbursed the difference between the cent he owes and the value of the donkey, but he's giving the donkey in the meantime because he obviously has no ready cash, right? So in this case, we say, Moshach zeh, lo kona zeh. Moshach zeh, lo kona zeh. Each one's meshicha, each one's meshicha is not a valid kinyan. Now, meaning, there is no chalifin here. There's for sure no chalifin, right? But now is there no chalifin, but even Rabbi Yosef, there's no mistake to think it's chalifin. Because chalifin, we assume, when it's a true barter. But here, I know and you know that I paid $499 already for this, right? So if there's no chalifin, it's going to be barter, right? So therefore, even Rabbi Yossi would concede, whenever Mashiach is done, each person looks at that Mashiach as an independent act, not as a chalifin. When does Mashiach not work? When you think it's chalifin, but it's really not a chalifin. Because you are thought it was chalifin, it was a chalifin, but then it can't be a real Mashiach. But here, since money has already changed hands, by definition, it's not a chalifin. So therefore, whatever Mashiach is done, is done independent. In other words, when the Baal Chamor takes the Parah, that's one leg of the transaction. When the Baal HaParah takes the Chamor, it's another leg, never the twain shall meet. But there's no mistaking in the circumstances that anybody's going to think chalifin took place because money changed hands. Okay? And that's why each Mashiach works independently.
What about getting changed for the Chamor?
That'll be separate also. I mean, but everybody knows it's not chalifin. The main thing is Rabbi Yossi said, if they think it's chalifin that causes problem, everybody knows it's not chalifin, it's not a problem. Okay? But again, as I said, it's a different gear, so, but it doesn't change the halacha in the Ben Ari at the bottom. Okay. Says more further. Masnisin, our mission said this came back to newish our mission, new topic. Masnisin Rishusa Gavok Bekesef, Rishusa Hedio Bechazoka. Said Hektesh is cornered with Kesef. It's cornered with Kesef, even Metalthin. Hedio is only cornered by taking hold of something. Ketzad, how's that work? Gizbar Shinasa Mos Hektesh Metalthin. The treasure of the Beis HaMikdash who gives money to the Beis HaMikdash in order to acquire movable objects. Kana Hekdesh B'chol Mokom Shu. Kana Hekdesh acquires no matter where it is. By a hetyot, by a commoner, they took away Kinyan Mos. We no longer have Kinyan Mos, B'zman Ezer, right? Only Mashiach Ragbo works. But by the Beis HaMikdash, it still works. Why is that? Interesting theological reason. Not brought down the Bavli, although it seems the Bavli relies on this as well. Shema La Shema Oretzum Loa Teva V'yashmeo. Hashem owns everything. Why does he have to do Mashiach? You have to do Mashiach. Because it has to be nimshach into your rishus. But the moment Hashem pays for something, it's as if the Mashiach is done. Because wherever it is, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just removing your layer of ownership. But then it automatically reverts to the layer of ownership of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's fascinating as far as, so you don't need Mashiach. Okay? Makes sense, right? So, says the Gemara, I'm Riosu Gavokim Mishiros Ledyot. When you say you're going to give to something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if you gave it to a commoner. Kate said, how so? Long apart from an Ekdesh, we must sign. You bought a cow from Ekdesh at the going price when you made concluded the deal was $200. Well, you speak long, you must sign, you weren't able to pay this $200. I chum bona until it went down to $100. Nevertheless, maybe must sign, nevertheless, you have to bring the $200. Why? Because the pledge you made was binding. The agreement you made. This is the case of Amir Gavokim Sirus Lehedjot. This case where your statement to Hashem is as if you gave, as if it was given, and therefore you're liable at the higher sum. On the other hand, Ekdesh gets both advantages.
Plata min hektish mona, let's say we're redeeming hektish for $100. Boy speak love mona, we weren't able to bring those $100. I try my sign until the price went up to 200. That's a bummer on you too. Maybe Masayim, you lose a night account, you have to bring the 200. Although Stephen said what it says, we learn how to drush in this pasuk. Those again is a smach, is on time with the smach, but certainly on the Bavli. The yasa chamishes kesef erkachol lov. You add a fifth of the value of the money upon it. The kumlo. Now we dash in this pasuk, even though it's about adding a fifth when you're redeeming something. We dash in ha'im yosif. If it goes up in price, hareu kamlo. Well, I'm sorry. I'm see if you up the price to the new price, hareu kamlo, you get the thing you're redeeming. If you love, and if not, eno kamlo, not you don't get the thing you're redeeming. Shorza ola ubayis a carbon. Since you don't need mesira by a kodesh baruch hu, so if you make an ox into a carbon or a house into a carbon. The hektish acquires immediately or automatically without any ma'isakinian to receive, because it says Hashem Artzimla, God owns the earth and that which fills it. Uvehediot, however, by a commoner, lo kana ad shoshiyachsi, the ma'isakinian doesn't take effect until he takes hold of it. Okay. Halacha Zayin, one of the most famous mishnayos in all of Shas. Kol mitzvah sa'av ben. Any mitzvah which your father has to do to his son, anashim chayavim, men are liable. V'anashim to us, women are potter. What's an example of that? Mila, right. Kol mitzvah ben alav. Any mitzvah the son has to perform vis-a-vis his father, which is kibud avim. Echad anashim v'echad anashim chayavim, it's both men and women. Kabbit sensation is my grow many mitzvahs. I say which contingent on time. Anoshim b'chayavim, men are liable, but anoshim b'turism, women are exempt. Kabbit sensation laws my grow many mitzvahs. I say whether time is not a compick, it's not kind of contingent. Echor anoshim b'chayavim, both men and women are liable. Kabbit says below, so I say every negative command, bench as my grow, bench laws my grow, whether it has a tight component or not. Echad anoshim, both men and women are liable. Chutz with the exception, Yibal Tashkis. Women may shave with a shaver, with a razor. Yibal Takif, women may make a conical haircut. You know, they don't have. They're allowed to cut off the payas. Yibal Tatan and the Mason. And women Kohanim may go to Levias. Bas Michos, do Smichos the Beis Hamikdash, Nuvos to wave in the Beis Hamikdash, Hagosh is bringing a Mincha close to Mizbeach, Kmitzos taking a fistful and putting on the Mizbeach, taking the fistful, Haktor is putting stuff on the Mizbeach, Hamlikos, slitting the neck of the bird, Hakabos. Oh, we don't mean they can't do it here, we're just saying they're exempt. What? Yeah. Not the order of the pasuk. No. How do you know that? How do you know that's not the order of the
pasuk? His order of putting it down is the way the
Bavli
does it.
The way the Bavli does it?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is something to take up with your daughter, I guess.
No.
Why is it different order? Well, you can make your case in point. Is this your daughter who teaches in the academy or who goes to school? This Mishnah?
Yes.
Okay. This is not an exciting mission to be tested on. Anyway, Chutz Mincha Soita, the exception is Mincha Soita, where Vanazirus, and if a woman becomes a Nazira, Shema Nifos, where they do wave. I think it's the only mention in Shas of a women becoming Naziros. Was there anything in Masechet Nazir about women becoming Naziros? We just assumed it, but I remember somebody once attacked me in some forum. I don't know if it was the morning shiur or afternoon shiur or here, where the women can become the zeros. But here it says they can become the zeros. Anyway. Mitzvah shav chayla says no. What a mitzvah shavas to do a son. Lemulot, give him a bris, leftoso to redeem him. If he gets taken, sorry. Pliny aven. So you're right. Lamdo tara and to teach him Torah. Lamdo umlis and teach him a trade. Lasiel isha, and we don't hold that nowadays. Lasiel isha, and to marry him or marry him to a wife. Rabbi Akiva says, Af lamdo lashut, he also says teach him to swim. Apneimai. I think that probably the Rabbi Yehuda says that. What?
No,
it is Rabbi Yehuda. Lamarlo, how do you know the Brismila Biomashmini Yimol Basar Loso? The Bali brings out a different pasuk. I forget which pasuk Bali brings out. Brings out a different pasuk. Kol Bukhor Banecha, no. Real. Yeah, from Avraham Avinu, what does it say there? No, that's in the middle down. Okay, fine. So I'm not sure if there's any difference. I didn't see anybody talk about the difference, but they do during down the pasuk. Liftos the team, the chsiv kol b'chor adam b'vanecha. If they are all your male children, or your male firstborn to redeem. Lam the Torah v'limatem osam es b'nechem. You should teach your children. What? From Brachos? The Sefer HaChinuch. Yeah, of course. Because for adults it's there. No, but for adults it's there regardless. For adults it's there regardless. Besides your mitzvah for your kid, you have a mitzvah on yourself. So usually your father did it for you. So that's why it's in Brachos. Because the mitzvah of an adult, the mal himself, is in Brachos. This is the mitzvah that you have on your kid, though. Yeah. It's not Brachos. I know.
Of course you know. I'm thinking.
Yeah. Oh, well, there has to be something more than just the reason, that reason. Anyway, maybe not, but again, I didn't say anybody speaks about it. Lam the umnus tanner, Rabbi Shmuel says, Uvachar the b'chaim, because it says, choose life. Zumnus, you have to have a trade. Vasil, Yisho, this is not in the Bavli. Vodafa manechu v'nei v'nechu. Should teach your children and your children's children about standing before Mount Sinai. When you're going to have children and grandchildren, if you marry off your kids when they're young, you'll have children and grandchildren to teach them about Matan Torah. Also to swim. You see, because it says, right? It says you should live, you and your children. Now, it's in living, obviously, requires swimming. Now, interesting, this following Yerushalmi. Mala mitzvah likum. Is it mandatory or is it just optional? Mitzvah means here optional. Ikum wouldn't mean mandatory. Shmini Meadah, it's not from here. Bar Tarmi, Bar Trima, Asagabi Rabbi Ami. Bar Trima came to Rabbi Ami, Amar Lein, he said to Rabbi Ami, Pais Labo, convince my father, Diasveni, that he should marry me off. Asa Paisis, Rabbi Ami came to convince him, Velo Kavi Lovi. But Bar Trima's father wouldn't listen. Well, why didn't Rabbi Ami beat him up? Right? If it's the Ikuva, Rabbi Ami with his basin should have come beat up the father until he married off his son, right? Adama teaches us the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. Because in Tamer Liku, because we said it's a requirement, not just a mitzvah, Havle the Kufine, you should have beat him up, and he did not. Minayim law so law aviv. I know your father didn't redeem you. Shuuchayv those last words, but you have to redeem yourself. Tamalama, because the pasuk says, Adam tifdeh. So Adam is superficially said b'chor tifdeh. Adam tifdeh means that the man must redeem himself. It says that the grah, when he grew up, he redeemed himself by every calling he met, until he met a calling named Rappaport, because he said the Rappaport's a bona fide kohen. I've seen it was a Hakohen Rappaport. Okay? Well, the Maltem, what about Brismila? Ulmaltem, it should be es besar alaschem, which means speaking to you. So it means if your father didn't do it, you have to do yourself. What about learning Torah? Limaratem atem, right? Well, we dash says limaratem. Limaratem means you should learn it yourself, not just es benechem. Vodatem, right? Use yourselves. Atem. Lamatichye. Now this is about umnus, that you should survive at all. You should survive as well. So all these are mitzvahs by yourself if your father didn't teach you. See, now we learned. This is a fascinating God at all. Ha'av zachal ibn ben beno. Ha'av zachal ben. This is what's hereditary. It's not, what's not subject to the free will of the son, but rather the father that predetermines. What's that benoi? The son's handsomeness. B'koyach, the son's strength. B'oshar, the son's wealth. B'chokhma, the son's wisdom. B'shanim, the son's longevity. Now, I'm sure all these things can change a little bit, especially wealth, but there's a certain projection which goes from father to son. And we learn this out from Sukkot. B'noi minana, we know the father is responsible for his son's handsomeness. Because it says, Yeroeh al-Vadecha polecha, may there be seen by your servant your handiwork, Vadorcha, and the resplendor shall go, Abneim, shall go on your servant's children. So you see, splendor goes from father to son. Bekoyach and strength, Gibor Baritz Yezaro. His children will be mighty in the land. So it goes by him, the children will be strong. Boisher in wealth, Narisi Gamzakanti, I was a lad and I became old. Loisi Tzaik Nezov, I never saw a tzaddik forsaken. Bizar Mavakish Lochem, and children seeking bread. In other words, the wealth goes from generation to generation. Bechachma, and wisdom, Limantem Osomets Benechem, says teach your children, right? So it seems that it's not just teaching in the simple sense, but it means that the capacity comes from the father as well. Ledaber above the speaking of that. Bishonim in length of days, remind you, it says, in order that your days and the length of your children will be elongated. So now here's the fascinating part of it. Just like the father does five things for the kid, so too the kid has to do five things for the father. What are they? Veloeni ma'achilas, give him food, or ma'ashkeh, give him to drink, ma'avish, give him clothing, mano, give him shoes, manik, and lead him around. Hadol d'chsib, and that's which it says. Yachu arosh Yoav. When Yoav killed Avner, so David gave him a curse. He said, well, Yoav, the following should be, the things should be for. Zov, umitzora, right? He should have a venereal disease. He should be a leper. Mazapelch, he should be a knitter. V'noivel b'cherev, he should fall by sword. V'chasar lechem, he should be short of bread. Now, Zov, we say, is Toshish. Zov here means not necessarily that he's a true Zov, although that might be part of it, but he's weak. Sometimes Ziva comes from weakness. And that corresponds to what Yoav should have imparted his strength to his children, because that's one of the first of the five things. That's the second five things, but the same idea. So it said his kids will be weak. Mitzora, we say, is Aziv, somebody who is isolated. And we know he has to cover his face, that means somebody who's not handsome. So that he loses that's the bracha of losing the capacity of the father to make his kids handsome. Machzik bepelech, somebody who holds on to knitting needles, that's a buri, that's somebody who's literally means unemployed, but corresponds to what we said, that the father acquires for his children wealth, so he's not going to have wealth. And why he's not going to have wealth? Because his only parnos will be as a knitter. And knitting is a vaibashazach. And since it's a vaibashazach, so therefore he won't be able to find employment. Only women find employment in that. Right? It says, Chokhmas Isha Bepelech, right? Women's wisdom is in knitting, not men. Never buy a garment knit by a man. So it says, and continues the Gemara, Neufel Becherev, people who fall on their swords, Sayomi, people will be short of days, not going to get the length of days. which children should get from their parents. V'chaser lechem, lacking bread, miskein. Oh, I messed it up. I'm sorry. One second. Okay, I'm not sure. Noi, koach, osher. No, I messed it up. No. Lacking chokhmah was machzik bepelech. This is miskein. Chaser lechem means miskein, they're going to be poor. Machzik bepelech means they won't be smart. Because for men to know knitting means they're morons. Because women's chokhmah is knitting. But men who know knitting, that means they don't know Torah. That's precisely the point, okay? So machzik bepelech corresponds to they're going to be like women. They're not going to be too bright, okay? Yeah, I know. When you teach your daughter this Mishnah, maybe you should teach her with the Gemara. Okay. So at any event, so Kad Asher Shlomo Amichtel Yoav. When Shlomo came to kill Yoav, Amar Lei, so he said, "Look, Avicha Gozar Lei Chamesh Zeros. Your father decreed upon me 5 decrees. Kablin, if you accept upon yourself, Vadim Iskatel, I'll go to my death." The Kablin and Shlomo, foolishly enough, accepted them. The Kulin called me to base Budovit, they all happened in the house of David then. Zav Vaya Rechavam. Rechavam was a Zav. It says, Vamelech Rechavam, he samates la los ba merkava. Rechavam, after the kingdom was split, he toiled to get up to the chariot, lanus to Yerushalayim, to run to Yerushalayim. So it means he was weak, and weakness is associated with Ziva. Or it means merkava is called, reminds us of the word Merkav. In the Torah, Merkav Hazov. Right? So therefore, he had Tumas Merkav. Tumas of things that you ride, of chariots. So he was Mandamar Zav, Mandamar Isnis. Either was a Zav or he was very weak. Mitzora Zeruzio. Mitzora was Uzio, but he was here explicitly. Uzio Hamelch Mitzora Yomoso. He was the leper in the day of his death. Machzi bepelech, that Zeyosh. That Yosh was Machzi bepelech. Now, we're taking this in a broader sense. That Machzi bepelech means he was vibish, right? How is he vibish, Yosh? Very strange. Gemara says, Ves Yosh osu shvatim. Yosh was taken into captivity. Oh, eventually, I think he got out. He came out okay, but I don't remember exactly. But in any event, with Yosh, when he was taken into captivity, what happened was, what happens in modern-day prisons? What happens in modern-day prisons? You get raped, right? So that's what happened to him. He was treated like a woman. They put upon him tough gang members, who didn't know women in their lifetimes, meaning that they were used to homosexuality. They tortured him like they rape a woman. Very contemporary. Although the Chassidus Sefer says, V'inog on Yisrael b'fonov, v'onog on Yisrael b'fonov, I guess literally means respond, but we darshan, V'inog on Yisrael b'fonov, they tortured the great one of Israel. V'noivah b'cherev, who fell by sword to Yoshio. The Chassidus says, technically he fell by archery, but all right, same thing. Sivayor Yorim Lamelch Yoshio, the archers arched to the king Yoshio. Vamar Rabbi Yochanan said, "Melami Shosu Gufo Kikvara." They made his body like a sieve. Tain Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel taught us, "Shlosh Mel Schitzim Yorim B'Mashiach Hashem." 300 arrows they shot at the Anointed of God. V'chaser Lechem, lacking bread, said Yoyachin, one of the last kings of Yehuda. Baruch Haso Aruch Has Tamid Nit Nolo. His daily bread was always given to him by the king of Bavel. But that means he had no independent wealth. He was always contingent on the king of Bavel and never knew what would be the next day. Talmud Sinai, we learned over there. Who did Didn't Davin? My Davin already. A couple more minutes? Talmud Sinai, we learned over there. I just want to get Talmud out. Talmud Sinai, we learned over there. Im Ischilu En Mavsikin. If you began taking a bath, you don't have to stop davening mincha. Aschos Amercha tells you what's being in the bath. Rabbi Zichron Shechina said, Mishiyat is once you take losing your belt. Rabbi Mishiyat Mina wants to take off your shoe. That was the line from down below, which should be over here, according to Mashbiach. About six lines down, the line starts Mahava. You see the Mahava is the beginning line? The words Mahava are superfluous. But next words we move over here. Rabbi Jeremy Amar Kachayo, Rabbi Lezber Yossi Amar, Shuluch Money once you take off your clothes. Anyway, so we have a story. Going back to where we were before. Yoshma Levi Abi Yolif Shama Parshas of the Barbre used to go and hear the Parsha from his grandson, Bechor Ruva Shabbos, every Arab Shabbos. We had him by Yerushalmi. Okay. So, Chatzman Inche, once he forgot, Val Mitzchi, he went to take a bath, went to the mikveh. By Indi Musi the Tveria in the bathhouse in Tveria. Val Mistamech Al Kisra Rabbi Chir Barbo. It was leaning on Rabbi Chir Barbo. Anna, he remembered that he didn't learn with his grandson. But Navle Midi Musi left the bath. Skipping two lines because read in four. Armale Rabbi Chir Barabo, Wayim at Lokain Elfin, Rabbi, didn't you teach us? He mischilu emafsikin, we don't stop. Right, you started the bath. So why do you have to stop? You don't stop for Mincha, you're going to stop to learn Torah. I'm going to say, Mechia B'ni. He said to Mechia, my son. The Kali B'necha, is it a light thing in your eyes? What we said before, Shekomi Shishomeh Parshim B'ben B'noi. Well, it's not exactly the same before, it's a new thing. Anybody who hears the Parsha from his grandson, Kilu Shomeh Mi'ar Sinai. It's such a nachas. It's like here at Mount Sinai. My time, what Pasuk teaches this, you're able to teach your children and your grandchildren. It's like Yom Asher Amati Bnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chorev. It's the day, the Kayom Asher Amati Bnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chorev. It's if you say at Har Sinai. Now, interesting, this juxtaposition. Rabbi Chizkiya Rami, Rabbi Chiya B'Shem Yochel said, Im Yochel is at L'Shal Shul Shmuad Moshe. If when you say over Shtikot Torah, you could say B'Shem Omer until Moshe, Shal Shul. Say over every name in the chain to Moshe. Vimlavin, if not, Fos or Rishon Rishon, say either the first ones you remember in the chain, or Achron Achron, the last one's chain, but say over somebody. Why is that? Because Gidul Omar, because Gidul said, well, it's because Koimer Dover Shem Omar could maybe Gula Loyalim, right? But Gidul gives a reason for it. Gidul Omar, a psychological reason. He said, Koimer Shmuel B'Shem Oimra. Anybody says or say the name of the person who said it, you got to depict in your mind's eye that he's standing in front of you. So you say something over name your Samech, you're supposed to have my picture of your Meshach, right?
So
the Shishiba
Zimra said that same thing.
So that's coming up. How do you remember that? I can't believe it. It's coming up here again. So says the Gemara, Strike the first time? Ma taima, what's the pasuk? Ach betzilam yishalechish. If his reflection is standing opposite you, then he can go in that reflection. Rav Adam yikra kore yishchazdo. Many people will be called Bali Chesed. But Ishimuni, but a trustworthy person, means so who you're going to find. In other words, who's really trustworthy? Not too many people. But Rabbi Zir, is trustworthy. Dom Rabbi Zir said, Leis on Achashin HaShmos and Rav Sheshes. We don't pay attention to what Rav Sheshes says. Even he says over somebody's name. Why? To God Rav Chavach, because he's blind. And therefore, if you can't see a person when he's saying something, you don't know if you're quoting him precisely. That's what he remembered, right? Varazir Rabbi Yasa, Rabbi Zir said to Rabbi Yasa, hey, Chacham Rabbi Lebar Pedoya, did you ever know Rabbi Bar Pedoya, that Amar Shmuel and Mishmei, you say things over his name? Amar Rabbi Yochan Amar Mishmoy. He said, I don't know, I didn't know Bar Pedoya, but I know Rabbi Yochan. And I saw Rabbi Yochan saying over his name, so that's good enough. Because we said, if you know one of the people in the chain, that's good enough. Okay? And same thing, Amar Zil Rabbi Bobar Zavta. Chachim Rabbi Lerab, did you ever know Rab Dat Amar Shmuel and Mishmei? I heard from Rav Acha Baruch Hu said in his name, so therefore I can say in his name as well, because I saw Rav Acha Baruch Hu. Okay, we'll stop here for this evening.
Didn't Shlomo eventually kill you?
Yes, but after he accepted the klolos upon himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it says. No, Klaus went over to Shlomo. All these people were descendants of Shlomo.
Yeah, I know.
Shlomo had to accept the Klaus. In other words, Yoav had kids. And the Klaus would not go to Yoav's kids, to go to Shlomo's kids instead.
And Shlomo accepted them.
And Shlomo accepted them.